My brother Tim, who lives up outside of Wilmington, slaughtered a couple hogs about a week and a half ago, a couple hogs that he had been raising for the past couple years. Now, generally, you raise a hog for a year, and then you slaughter it, because it's not too big at that point, and the ham is better, and some of the other meat is better. But the bacon isn't as plentiful, so he wanted more bacon. So he let the hogs grow another year, so he ended up having 2 600-pound hogs to slaughter, which he slaughtered and hung in his driveway. Let him hang for a week. Well, it was cold, of course, and this past week, of course, it began to warm up. So I get a text on Thursday morning, and Tim's got some back problems. And so I get a text from one of my sisters saying, listen, we're going to go down and help Tim butcher these hogs tomorrow. We could certainly use your help. So Friday, after I got done teaching, drove up there and helped butcher these hogs. It's a lot of work to cut a hog up, let alone two. But there we were. It was my dad and my brother-in-law, Joe, and Joe's boy, Joseph, 10 years old, who was helped cutting up the meat outside, and then you bring it in, and the others that were helping, a couple sisters, my mom, they'd wash the meat, cut it up and package it. But there's Joseph, and he's helping cut up the meat, and at one point needed to use the Sawzall. My dad was going to use the Sawzall to cut some bone, and Joseph says to him, Grandpa, you need me to show you how to use that. Well, I think lucky for Joseph, Grandpa didn't hear him, right? Because my dad, I mean, he grew up on a farm, no running water, outhouse, the whole nine yards, has built houses and barns, and as an engineer, built jet planes, was a machinist. So, I mean, he knows how to cut things up, and he knows what a tool is, right? But it just struck me that here's a 10-year-old who likes to be part of the adult conversation. He likes to be in on that, and he likes to show you what he knows. And he likes to tell you that multiple times, right? And then I hear in today's reading from St. Paul, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. I acted like a child. But then I put away childish things, childish ways. And what does that mean? How do you hear that? When St. Paul says to us, he put away childish things, obviously the question is, have we? And what does that mean? Well, in the course of a person's life, you get an aspect or an experience like little Joseph here. What's the thing? What's the problem? Joseph has no context. He's 10. And he offers to show somebody who's cut up things their whole life how to use a saw. He has no context. And that's the challenge of the spiritual life. That's what St. Paul is getting at here. You have the Corinthians, this community in Corinth, and they're seeking and pursuing, and I think authentically so, these spiritual gifts, the gifts of tongues, prophecy, to teach, to lead, to shepherd. They want to be enabled and empowered and to do. And Paul says that's all for nothing if you don't have the right context. If all those gifts that you've received, if all those abilities you have, if all the skills and treasures that have somehow accrued to you aren't placed in the right context, you're a child. You think like a child. You act like a child. You know, when we think about children, a lot of times we say, oh, you know, they don't yet have focus. That's not the problem. The problem is they have too much focus on the right here in front of them now. What they lack is context. In the spiritual life, day in and day out, we see what's in front of us, what's bothering us now, what's troubling our heart, what's weighing on us, and we forget the total context of who we are in Christ. As parents, but even as adults, what we try to do, interestingly, and you can watch this happen, they try to give children the context, the history, How does that happen? You think back, if I were to think back, I'd say, okay, I had 2, maybe 3 years of piano lessons. And as soon as I could get out of them, I got out of them. Now, if I were to have a child now, I'd say, no, you're doing at least 5 years, maybe 10, right? Because if I can get you to stick for a while, I know that when you get older, you'll be able to play the piano and you'll love that. Or maybe you'll hate it, right? But you watch that happen. We encourage our kids to study hard, play hard, practice, be good, stay focused, boom. Because what we're doing is we're realizing that we might not have had the complete picture when we were younger, and we're trying to give that to them now. It's a difficult thing to have happen, right? In our spiritual life, it is the same thing. The Lord continually tries to give us the bigger picture. In our first reading today, Jeremiah is called by the Lord, and the calling that the Lord gives us always follows a certain pattern. The Lord calls, we protest, the Lord assures, and then gives a sign. You're called to be a Christian. We somewhat protest. The Lord gives assurance. In our reading today, I will make you a wall of brass. I will make you as a stone fortress. I will make you strong. And then the Lord gives us signs. But we don't place them all in the right context, and so we remain children. In the gospel, Jesus says to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But what do they hear? They hear the carpenter's son, not the fulfillment of the word. They place Jesus in a context that allows them to stay where they're at and with what they think. And they do not allow him to challenge them fundamentally to grow up in the Lord. So as we celebrate this Sunday, we can ask ourselves, am I a child or am I adult? Do I place my life in the context of the mystery of God's call and love for me? Do I see the small pieces of my life, the ones that irritate, the ones that give joy, all of that, do I see that in the midst of the love that has called me into existence and redeems me and forgives me no matter what? Do I respond to that? Do I see my own actions, the interior of my heart, the way that I relate to everything around me as an adult Christian should? And we can all be challenged in that. At the end of that reading from Corinthians, we heard the familiar refrain, right? If you've ever been to a wedding, you hear this reading. Faith, hope, love. These three remain. But the greatest of these is love. That translation is not altogether correct, because it says, actually, the greatest of these is the love. And Paul is pointing to the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. The love of God made flesh. That's the context. He's the context in which we should see everything we do.